This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we here on Savor are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat like a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about sumac.
Yes. Any particular reason this one was on your mind?
Oh, it could have been any reason. It was so long ago, like 3 or 4 days.
Centuries.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It really has been centuries.
Feels like it.
This has been a very long week, folks.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, I did not know what this was
when
you
really
suggested it. Well, yeah, I didn't know what it was. And then I guessed that it was a type of orange.
Okay.
Before I started researching it, and I thought it was often in jams. But now that I've read up on it, I think I was vaguely familiar with what it was.
Yeah. You kind of had the, like, citrusy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was right ballpark. I don't know. But when I was reading about it, I was like, oh, yeah. So I think I did know it. I just didn't.
Okay.
You just
didn't recognize it off
enough.
The top of your sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have a super lot of experience with this, although there are some really amazing kind of like Mediterranean-ish region restaurants around Atlanta that I've had this. I've used it in some cooking. I think it bothers my stomach a little bit, but like kind of a lot of things bother my stomach, so it's sort of hard to tell. We did talk about it some in our Za'atar episode, so you can see that one for a little bit more. But, well, I guess neither of us being deeply familiar with this probably brings us straight to our question.
Sure does. Sumac. What is it?
Well, sumac, sometimes pronounced shumac, I think, is a type of spice or seasoning. Its small red fruits are typically dried and sold whole or ground into a powder, bright in both flavor and color, like fire engine red, and lemony, like tangy but not super, super tart, with a little bit of like fruity, savory bitterness to it. Cooked into dishes or used in spice blends or sprinkled over anything savory at the table, it's like if paprika were a citrus, it's like if pink lemonade were an unsweet table seasoning.
Mm.
It's like a sunset really wants you to enjoy your vegetables.
Aw. Thank you, sunset.
Sumac is in the Anacardiaceae family, or the cashew family, along with other stuff we've talked about before on the show, like mangoes and pistachios and cashews. It's also in the same family as like poison ivy and poison oak and poison sumac. Is this why it bothers me? Mangoes don't bother me, or just anyway. Okay. Who knows? Poison sumac is easily identifiable by its white berries and like differently shaped leaves. It's a different genus. Edible sumacs are generally in the Rhus genus. There are some 250 species, although only a handful are commonly eaten. And I've seen different numbers on that. I've also read that it's only like 91 accepted species. I'm not a botanist. I have no Rhus in this game. So
nice.
Thanks. At any rate, yes, sumac plants. These are tall shrubs or like small-ish trees, generally somewhere between 3 and 30 feet tall. I know that's a broad range, but, you know, different species. That's about 1 to 10 meters. They typically have like long ridged leaves that can look a little bit like a large fern frond. Yeah. They grow in tropical to temperate regions, often mountainous, and flower with these big cones of tiny white to pink to bright red to purplish flowers that, if pollinated, will each develop a tiny single bright red to purplish fruit about the size of like a small pea or a large peppercorn, each containing a single seed, which means they're a drupe. And processing can vary, but typically you're drying the fruit and removing the seeds and then grinding that flesh to a grainy powder. And yeah, the powder is just a beautiful, it can range a little bit in color, but it's just really beautiful, like wine red. So pretty. And the etymology is contested as well, but the name seems to have come from a word for either red or dark red in any case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which language it came from.
Yeah.
I'm not an etymologist. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
As much as we enjoy it.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, once you have this powder or this fruit, it is widely added to spice blends like za'atar or used by itself in stews or sauces or rubs, but also often used as a finishing spice or a table spice for meat or vegetables or salads or dips or savory dairy like yogurts or cheeses.
Mm.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Also used fresh or dried to make drinks like a lemonade type, a cold drink or a tea-like hot drink. In some places, the roots and shoots are also eaten or have been used medicinally. Extracts are also used in industrial applications like food preservation as a fabric dye and for leather tanning because they do contain a lot of tannins. That's part of what makes them tart.
Uh-huh. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about the nutrition?
You're usually not eating enough of it to make much of a difference, but sumac does contain some good fats and some fiber. The fruit does, like once it's dried. Ooh, I mean, fiber still, sure. And at least a smattering of micronutrients. And is being investigated for potentially beneficial compounds like antioxidants, stuff that can help control blood sugar and alleviate muscle pain, plus antibacterials and antifungals. But, you know, save our motto. Bodies are complicated. More research is necessary before ingesting a medicinal dose of anything, consult a medical professional who is not us.
Absolutely not.
Other things we are not.
The list is long.
It is.
The top medical professional.
Certainly not. No.
Oh, well, we don't have any numbers for
you.
Yeah,
other, oh man, I feel like we're... We're really winning today. Yeah, yeah. Okay, y'all. So this might be a case of just Google being tricksy internationally, because I like, I'm aware that sumac is a widely used spice in, like, I don't know, like a quarter of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, very widely used around the Levant. And it just all of the, I could not find global production numbers for this plant. And I'm like, I don't know if I was using too American of like a search term, or if Google was just like, you don't care about that other stuff, I'm not even going to show it to you. So.
Mm-hmm. Darn you, Google.
Google.
And our podcasting goals. Our determination to provide numbers of some kind. Alas.
Yeah, right? Even the academic papers weren't like bragging on the numbers. Anyway, it's okay. Wrapped up in all of this mild confusion, we do have a bunch of history for you.
That is also rife with mild confusion, so.
Yay!
Yay! Woo! But first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we are what you might call food explorers. We are so lucky that a part of our job involves traveling and trying a lot of the food where we go to travel, and then coming back here and telling all of you good listeners about it. And through that, we have discovered some amazing dishes.
Sure, yes. Like, I had never understood what poke really could be, and it is delightful.
It is stunningly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we had a lot of on our trip to Hawaii. Another thing from their passion fruit I now look for in literally every menu that I read. I'm like, yep, that one has passion fruit. Going for it.
And then all of the moles, and especially the green mole that you heard us talk about recently that we had
from
in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. Oh, or just steak basements.
Who doesn't love a steak basement?
Exactly. Well, if you are like us and you're willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people who, like us, are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet-sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, yes, the history of sumac is hotly debated, with some arguing it originated in Iran or Syria, others arguing that it originated in Sicily. Some say perhaps it's both. The multiple possible origins of the name, as mentioned, complicate matters too. But whatever the case, it spread along trade routes across Europe and the Middle East, kind of around the same time.
Yeah, definitely one of the spices involved in the spice trade routes. Yeah.
Yes. And historically, sumac has been used in a variety of ways. For instance, in ancient Rome and Greece, people used it to add acidity to foods, but also medicinally for things like indigestion and to dye clothes and tan leather. Dioscorides wrote about it. I believe he prescribed it for things like indigestion as well. When lemons were imported and cultivated on a larger scale in Europe, sumac consumption decreased there, but that was not the case in the Middle East. Some sources suggest that sumac was still somewhat popular in parts of Europe as a garden plant, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It is pretty.
It is pretty. Other varieties of sumac grow natively in North America, where indigenous peoples ate the sprouts and used the berries in beverages, as a dye or as a way to flavor tobacco. It was used for a variety of ailments as well, from sore throat to fever.
And yeah, evidence has been found of sumac being eaten around Pueblo sites going back like 2,000 years, so.
You're making a gesture that's like long time.
Far back.
Yeah.
I think it's really playing well for audio. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it landed. I think it landed for sure. And now for a part of the story I wasn't really anticipating, has to do a lot with leather.
Yeah. You know?
All right. So American businessmen recognized the potential commercial value of sumac in the late 18th century. Because at the time, the leather industry prized powdered sumac, and importing it from Europe was expensive. So seeing an opportunity, Roswell Saltonstall, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Saltonstall.
Roswell Saltonstall.
Yeah, what a name.
Yeah, right? That sounds like a Batman villain. I love this.
It does. You're right. Well, this fellow applied for a patent in 1793 for, quote, the exclusive rights of manufacture and vending sumac in all its parts and productions. He and his son Richard opened up the first known American sumac mill in Connecticut soon after, and then they opened up another one after that. They ran several ads in local papers to recruit sumac pickers, and they had these pretty extensive instructions that you can find online. So the pickers would, they would bring what they had dried sumac to the mills, where it would be ground into powder, packaged, and sold, largely to tanneries. Other entrepreneurs followed in their success, followed their example, and Saltonstall did not like this.
Oh.
No. He spoke in front of the U.S. House of Representatives about the perceived patent violation, but nothing came of it. Several other competitors popped up across the state, and Saltonstall filed for bankruptcy in 1801. Top of that, to pay off his debts, he sold his mills and his home. So, didn't work out for him.
No. That's his villain origin story.
That's true.
Yeah.
Saltonstall. It's a good name to shout out when raising a fist.
Yeah. And that he was in, I mean, like a seasoning adjacent industry. That's pretty. I'm just saying. Look.
Yeah, you're just, ideas are flowing, you know?
Okay,
so Saltonstall and his son were not the only mills. Their mills weren't the only ones that experienced hardship. In the early days of the American sumac industry, the quality just wasn't as good as imported sumac. I believe that's fairly true, although it could also be just perceived quality. The Sicilian variety continued to be the most prized and the only one that could produce white leather. Still, the industry continued to grow and improve, particularly after the Civil War and particularly in the South because of the climate, the warmer climate, though northern produced sumac found more success when it came to dyes. In his 1869 report, the Commissioner of Agriculture promoted the sumac industry, really touting the technological improvements, and this led to others entering the sumac business, so that was kind of a boost for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then the American industry got another boost when the country's sumac imports were cut off during World War I and World War II. The Department of Agriculture printed two pamphlets about growing sumac in 1918 and 1920, claiming, quote, country people, especially the elderly and women and children, can earn good wages from July to September by gathering and cutting sumac. However, with the introduction of synthetic tanning in the 50s, the American sumac industry pretty much collapsed and never really recovered. That was the, like, unfortunately, most of the history, again, I guess because we're in America and it was hard to find these sources from places where the sumac industry is still going and it's very important. So listeners, let us know.
Yeah, if there are sources that we just completely missed out on, like, for example, your last reference here.
Yes. So in 2021, Anas Tazi published Sumac Recipes and Stories from Syria, and it sounds great. It was really critically acclaimed. It's got kind of a history of Syria with these recipes, and it won a lot of awards. So I definitely want to check it out. But yeah, if there's anything else like that we missed, please let us know.
Yeah. Right now on the American side, sumac is definitely being touted as something that is delicious and can be found and foraged locally and turned into tasty stuff. It's named in every guide to the spices and cooking that I have, but with very little information. Mm-hmm. On our end. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're counting on you as always, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but in the meantime, I suppose that's what we have to say for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we are what you might call food explorers. We are so lucky that a part of our job involves traveling and trying a lot of the food where we go to travel and then coming back here and telling all of you good listeners about it. And through that, we have discovered some amazing dishes.
Sure, yes. Like, I had never understood what poke really could be, and it is delightful.
It is stunningly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we had a lot of on our trip to Hawaii. Another thing from their passion fruit I now look for in literally every menu that I read. I'm like, yep, that one has passion fruit. Going for it.
And then all of the moles, and especially the green mole that you heard us talk about recently that we had
from
in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. Oh, or just steak basements.
Who doesn't love a steak basement?
Exactly. Well, if you are like us and you're willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people who, like us, are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
Listener Mail.
Tangy? Okay.
Yeah.
Bright?
Yeah. Totally.
A lot of hand gestures you can't see, listeners.
That's so many. Again, so good on audio.
So good. I feel like it's coming through. I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the enthusiasm that counts.
Thank you. Kelsey wrote, I am writing to thank you for your recent episode on low and no alcohol beers. I chose to live sober in February 2020 and am successfully still off the sauce after a real wacky couple of years. I have been curious how beer with negligible alcohol content comes into existence, but too lazy to research it myself. That success story told, I was really missing beer around the winter holidays in December 2020. This is where I'll shout out BC Canada Brewery Partake. They offer a range of beers, including, but not limited to, IPA, blonde, and stout. And it is also beery. I love being able to enjoy craft brews without drinking irresponsibly. Fun fact, Partake was started by a gent who had to drop alcohol for health reasons. They only brew non-alcoholic beer, which allows me to confidently order direct from the brewery with no concern about accidental booze ordering.
Ooh.
Yeah. That sounds so great.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the lookout. I'm still struggling to find anything, but maybe I can get my hands on some of this.
Yeah, well, it's the import-export laws for NA alcohols, are really odd because, like, and listeners have written in that, right, like, you can't always buy non-alcoholic beer unless you're over 21,
mm-hmm.
which I get, but I also don't get.
Right. Right.
right, like, you know. Like, 7-year-olds shouldn't be able to buy vape pens, but,
mm-hmm.
or non-alcoholic beer. I'm not sure.
I think that's a path that's for a separate podcast
that is.
For than us, perhaps.
But at any rate, these sound delicious, and I'm glad that you have found them. And also, congratulations on your sobriety.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Ben wrote, I just finished listening to the mousse episode. Really enjoyed it, as always. I love chocolate mousse. I wanted to say a huge thank you to both of you for reading out my email for the listener mail episode and Kelly and Amanda's responses. They were both really helpful, so massive thank you to them as well. You've created a really fantastic community, and as you said, it's so great that we can all help each other out. I also wanted to share my favorite Cheats chocolate mousse recipe. I've attached a screenshot. It's super quick and simple and makes a delicious, rich, and creamy mousse. I hope the move to the new office goes smoothly, and thank you again for the amazing show and community you've built around it. Recipe is as follows. Okay, this is fun. 100 grams dark chocolate broken into pieces, or drops. 75 grams caster sugar, 2 to 3 tablespoons of brandy, 2 eggs, and 250 grams of mascarpone. Yeah. Place the chocolate in a heat-proof bowl, set over a saucepan of simmering water and allow to melt, then remove from the heat. Add the sugar, brandy, and eggs, and using a handheld electric beater, whisk for 5 minutes or until the outside of the bowl has cooled down to tepid. Then whisk in the mascarpone for a few seconds, just until combined. The mousse will thicken once the mascarpone has been mixed in. Divide between glasses, cups, or bowls and serve straight away or chill to use later.
Ooh.
I love mascarpone. Mascarpone? Anyway, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. And I actually, my mom has a recipe like this, and I guess I would have never considered it mousse because she usually puts it in a pie. But yeah.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty much the same thing. And it's
absolutely
delicious. Yes.
Moose pie. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's one of those ones where every time I make it, people want me to make it every time. And then I kind of get annoyed, but I also get it. You know?
You're like, well, you're not wrong, but.
But you're putting me in a box. And also, yeah, I love this. I love this community aspect. And I would say that you all helped create it instead of us. You were really the ones writing in and helping each other out. And we love it.
Yeah, we're just the voices here. You know, you all are providing the structure, the support system, the scaffolding.
Yes. Scaffolding is so important. Love it. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, thanks to both of those listeners for writing to us. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we here on Saver are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat, like, a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.